These Nuts.
Hey everyone, it's These Nuts. We are absolutely nuts about all things real estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or borrowing, we cover the topics that matter to you, and even the ones you didn't know you needed to be concerned with. We are your hosts,
Shane Hollenbach, nationally recognized mortgage lender,
and Jason Crittenden, one of the highest ranked realtors in all of Arizona.
Jason, why does that matter?
Well, because we have some advice, we have some experience, and we believe you should pay attention.
And do we have any promises?
We do. We'll keep it short and sweet. We'll pump out quality daily content covering real estate questions you've been dying to ask for about selling a home, buying a home, or how to get finance.
You have questions?
We have answers. Hey family, these real estate nuts are back on the farm for episode number 20. We are going to be doing a two-part series today.
Whew.
The title of the part one is going to be contingencies. What are they and what kinds are there? So Shane, let's start with the definition of contingencies.
I was going to say that's good because...
Baseline definition. It's a future event or circumstance which is possible but cannot be predicted with certainty, and I think that's the most important part.
With certainty.
Can't be predicted with certainty. So what are some contingencies in a residential purchase contract? Again, we can't say this enough. We're in America and we are in Arizona. So we're talking about our purchase contract, but I think this is pretty universal, right? What are some of the contingencies?
Well, I think that the Arizona contract, there's some automatic contingencies that are built.
It's right built in. Right in, yeah. Okay. It's built right in. One of them is going to be I'm going to start out with a unique one that's not in all contracts.
Okay.
This is the buyer contingency, and this is meaning we got an offer on a house, but it is contingent on the sale of the buyer's home. So in other words,
Has a house to sell.
I have a house to sell, okay. And then I would like to buy your house, Mr. Seller, but I cannot close unless mine actually sells.
Makes
and closes,
sense.
Right?
Yep.
Now, what's interesting about that contingency is there's actually three, it's got three different types of I need to sell my house.
Okay.
So I'll go from worst to best. The worst is, hey, Mr. Seller, I'd like to buy your house, but I got to sell my house and I haven't even listed it yet. That's the worst.
Sounds like a strong contingency for that guy.
It's not a strong contingency, but that does happen. Like, okay. Hey, man, because like it's basically your dream house popped up. Mm-hmm. You weren't really in the market and you saw it and you're like,
and now you are.
I got to have it.
Yeah.
I got to have it.
So but I got to sell my house.
I will list my house. You know, tomorrow, but I got to have it. So that's that one. So it's not a very strong one, but it is a contingency, right? Number two is going to be, hey, Mr. Sell, I'd like to buy your house. I have listed my house. However, it hasn't sold yet. Okay. And so that type of contingency would be like.
So that means sold, meaning it's not under contract.
Correct. Yet. So okay. It's on the market and I'm actively showing it.
Don't have a buyer.
I don't have a buyer yet. So it's also not a strong one. It's better than not being listed.
Yeah.
At least they're on the market. And you can actually, with those ones, I mean, you can look at the photos, the marketing materials. You can kind of give your seller an idea of like, hey man, this guy's strong. Look at his photos. Like okay. I pulled comps, like this house is going to sell. And so
that gives the listing agent of the house that you want to buy. It lets that listing agent kind of take a look at that listing to see if you're, you know, legitimate.
Yeah.
And you're not kind of crazy, which is why it's not sold.
I agree. And then there's the best. This is the best one if you're going to, by the way, no contingencies are you know, favors. In this case, I should say the seller, that they would prefer a non-contingent.
Absolutely.
Right. But the best one is going to be, hey, Mr. Seller, I'd like to buy your house. I have my house on the market. I actually have it under contract. I just need to close.
Yeah.
So that's the best one, right? And then, you know, it could be past inspections. Maybe it's closing in a week. Maybe it's closing in 3 weeks. But it's sold, right?
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee. Remember, we can't.
There's no certainty. Has to close.
But we can predict that it probably should close. So that's a buyer contingency. Then there's, what else? There's financing contingency.
Yes.
You know about those, Shane,
that's
right?
The ones I get involved in.
Those are the ones you get involved in. So if someone's getting a loan on a house, then the contract boilerplate would have this contingency locked in, right? It would say, hey, Mr. Seller, I want to buy your house, but I got to get a loan approval. And even though I have a pre-qualification, I still need an appraisal done. I need to get final loan approval through underwriting, right? And so there is some protection there that, until I get final approval, I mean, I obviously can't buy your house.
Yeah.
I don't physically have the money. I need the lender to say yes. And they probably haven't said yes yet. And so that would protect them. Yep. There's also, hey, financing wise, there's an appraisal contingency, right?
Yeah. So I think that appraisal contingency is financing and or cash. It still protects.
Well, it does. And so here's the thing, and it can be argued, it's a gray area.
Yeah.
So if you're an inexperienced agent, you might believe that because it's cash that you've somehow waived your appraisal contingency. And that's not actually true. However, it could be argued.
Yeah.
It could be argued. And when you go to a court, right, it's, you know, or if you're in a UFC fight, you never leave it to the judges,
yeah,
right? Because maybe it doesn't go your way. And so here in Arizona, for example, there's what's called an additional clause addendum. And that is what I would personally use in that case. If I had a cash buyer, I would use an additional clause addendum to address the all cash sale appraisal contingency, right? Because the language in there actually provides timeframes for acceptance, notice, like earnest money, it's like all that stuff is in there. And so there are some cash buyers that would want to get an appraisal.
Yeah.
They want to make sure they're not overpaying for a property, right?
Yes. Like, I will pay what you're asking.
As long as it appraises.
As long as it appraises.
Yep. And so you might want to use that ACA, that additional clause addendum, if you're a cash buyer. But if you're not, I would say the lion's share of contracts, you're financed. Like, most people don't have enough money to just straight up buy a house. They're going to be financed with Shane Hollenbeck, and they're going to have that appraisal contingency. And all that means is, I offer $500,000 on your house. You shake my hand. You say, I'll take $500,000 for my house. Well, because I'm doing a loan, that technically means I don't have $500,000. I have to ask, you know, you, the lender, for it. And you want to make sure, if I don't make a single payment and you have to take this house back,
that house was worth the
$500,000. That I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
And overpaid, because you won't be able to sell it if it's worth $450,000, right?
Exactly.
And so there, you have to get that appraisal contingency. So the appraisal gets done, and then what happens if it comes in, okay, $500,000 house, it comes in at $490,000.
Well,
what does that appraisal contingency say?
It says one of three things.
Yeah.
You can renegotiate the price.
Okay.
You can not renegotiate the price, and the buyer agrees to pay the extra $10,000.
So the out-of-pocket.
Out-of-pocket.
Because the lender's not going to do a loan over $490,000 at that point.
That's the value that they're going to establish all of their numbers on.
Okay.
And if, remember, we talked about this in another episode. I don't remember the episode number, but an appraisal is an opinion of value.
Yes.
And just because the appraiser, based on data, based on parameters, assigns a $490,000 sales price or a $490,000 value to the property, it's worth $500,000 to you.
To me.
That means that you can, if you want to stay in, you can pay the extra $10,000.
So that's the contingency part.
Yeah.
The contingency basically says that me as a seller, you can't force me to come down to $490,000.
Nope.
And then I can't force you as the buyer to come up to $500,000.
So then the last option is that everybody can't come to an agreement and they can walk away and earnest money is not at
risk.
It's
not forfeited on the buyer's side.
Exactly.
So I just have to put it back on the market as a seller.
Yes.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And then, so technically, I would say inspections are, even though they don't read as a contingency, I mean,
they absolutely are.
They are a contingency, right?
I mean, I'm going to make an offer on your house, and it is going to be
contingent on these inspections.
Yeah, the satisfaction of those inspections.
Or due diligence period. So, so in Arizona, we have a 10-day inspection period or due diligence period. That means I get an opportunity to not only hire a home inspector to view the house and make sure that it's, you know, nothing major that I'm worried about, but also,
crime reports.
I could look at crime reports, right? You know what? HOAs. If it's an HOA, I have to get those HOA CCNRs.
Yeah.
What if I find out I can't have 36 pit bulls at my house? And then, I have 36 pit bulls.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the HOA says you can't have that. I have the right, after receiving that, to cancel the contract with no penalty to myself, because that property is just not going to suit me. Right?
Yeah.
And then I guess you could probably write a contingency on
anything,
right?
Really.
I mean, those are boilerplate, but you could write a contingency. What?
Like, I've seen actually contingencies written. Say that word so many times. Contingency.
I've seen contingencies written
A couple of times where it was a buyer that was relocating, was transferring, and it was absolutely contingent on that being finalized.
Okay.
Right.
So, like, their lender or their employer says, "Hey, I'm gonna send you to Arizona," but then
whatever happens.
What if they don't?
Say the company gets bought out in the escrow period, the company gets bought out, and the people that bought the company said, yeah, I know that you were on your way to Arizona, but we don't actually need you in Arizona.
Maybe your job position gets dissolved.
In Arizona. So you can stay here in Ohio or wherever you were, but we do not need you in Arizona, and we are not going to transfer you there. You can move on. That's a crazy circumstance. I've seen it written because
It basically means that if the buyer or the seller has anything that's of concern to them, they could write in a custom contingency that says, hey, like, you can't make me sell this place if X doesn't happen, or you can't make me buy this place if X doesn't happen.
Yes. And I think this episode is more geared towards the buyer. So,
well, you know what? Well, part two, which I think we're going to end this one, and we're going to start moving into part two shortly.
Yeah.
But part two is going to be about contingencies, but how do they differ from a buyer's point of view and a seller's point of view?
Oh, okay.
Right? And
got
who
it.
Do
yeah.
they protect?
Yeah.
So
there's not a common Joe takeaway here.
There's no common Joe takeaway. We're just going over what the different types of contingencies are and what they are. And then we're going to sign off, and we're going to ask you to come back tomorrow for episode 21, part two of this conversation, where we talk about contingencies and how do they differ from the buyer's point of view, the seller's point of view, and who do they protect?
And that's solid gold. Yes, if you live in Arizona and you're looking to buy or sell or get a mortgage or refinance, we'd love to earn your business. Text loan to 602-975-2772 to reach Shane about buying or refinancing strategies. Text home to Jason at 602-975-2772 if you're looking to sell or buy in Arizona, or if you need a referral for out of state from my expansive national network. Guys, thanks for listening. Catch these real estate nuts on the flip side.